briefly discovered, compiled by brother Colin and sister Valerie Edwards of Newbury. Chapter 24. Submitted by brother David Wood of Stevenage in the UK. To fight or not to fight. As a teenager growing up in the years of the Second World War, one could not help becoming aware of the stand that young brethren and sisters were expected to take over military service. That had the effect of concentrating the mind quite sharply on the choice which would arise if one was baptised. It was said that some of us only came into the truth to be able to avoid military service. I can't really go along with this argument because it would have been a far more popular and easy choice to join up with the others. Being a conscientious objector was hardly a pleasant thing, even if it probably increased our chance of survival to some extent. This is not the place to argue the consequences of taking such a stand. That is fairly well known already, or can be imagined, even by those who have not yet had to face a similar choice. But it did have the effect of focusing the attention of young men and women from Christadelphian backgrounds on the need to opt one way or the other before call-up papers came through the letterbox. You will notice that I used the phrase Christadelphian backgrounds. I had been brought up in the Sunday school, but I had some experience of Pentecostalism, and I'd also done the rounds of other churches. Although whether this was just the rebellious nature of the teenager wanting a degree of independence, or a desire to test the doctrines and practices of the truth against other beliefs, one cannot, at this distance of time, be quite sure. And note, there was one rather nice girl who went to the Methodist Central Hall, so I did that too for a while. However, the grounding must have been pretty thorough, for I did not find myself able, comfortably, to assent to the teaching I was hearing, so that by the time I was aware of the impending choice, I was, I presume, back with the young people's class. During this period, I had left school and started work in a bank. Also, my father had died, so I could not turn to him for advice. I was not aware of any great pressure from my mother, though I'm sure she hoped, in this rather turbulent period, that I would make the right choice. In the bank in which I worked, there were other young men leaving to join the forces, and a general tone of patriotism, in spite of, or probably because of, the Blitz. Remember, this was in Coventry in the UK in the early war years, and it was not easy to stand apart. There was also working on the staff a middle-aged man who was an officer of some rank, colonel, I believe, in the Home Guard. So to try and clarify the issues which were looming in on me, I decided to ask him to come out one evening and explain his outlook and his convictions. I had also determined that on the night following, I think the two nights were consecutive, though I can't be certain, I would visit a Christadelphian's house with a similar objective. The chat with the colonel was very impressive. He made a good case and thought he had dispelled those nagging doubts about my expected loyalty to my country. As I recall it, I had some doubts about keeping my appointment to visit Frank Shepherd, a Christadelphian, for it was he that I had asked to put the case of the truth, as it were. But I went. I can remember virtually nothing of the conversation of that second evening. But when I left, I experienced a sort of elation and conviction that I could not and still cannot explain, except to say that I felt as if I were walking along the footpath of Woodside Avenue, Coventry, about 12 inches above the pavement. There must have been some dissolving of doubts done on that evening. I've often wondered since whether my recollection of that occasion is distorted by the passage of time or exaggerated by the retelling of the events. But that seemed to be the crunch point for me, the evening on which I decided to ask for weekly instruction. This was lovingly undertaken by H.H. Thompson, and I was eventually immersed on 28th of January 1943. There's a sort of footnote to this. When I had to register as a conscientious objector and was called to tribunal late in 1942, I was still unbaptised, but was able to secure conditional exemption with the supportive testimony of those he knew that I was serious about my profession and was, as we are in the habit of saying, being taken through. So I had already left the bank and made a start, not very auspiciously, as a land worker before I was actually baptised. I was not going to be rushed through baptism, just so that I could appear before the tribunal as a full member. Well, that's my story, perhaps not very dramatic in comparison with some tales of conversion, but it still seems to me that the hand of God must have been behind the scenes. There was a very real crossroads just there that I nearly went the wrong way, but I was guided to choose the right path. That was all a long time ago, and you can do the arithmetic for yourself. In one sense, it was just the falling into place of what I had already learned from my Christadelphian background and environment. But in the other sense, it was almost as dramatic to me, at least, as a Damascus Road experience. The impact and effect of this is still reverberating, as one tries to keep to that narrow way, which in the mercy of the Lord and by the compassion of our Saviour Jesus Christ, will lead us to his kingdom.